You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to my couch, as you always are, here on Wednesdays, live Pacific Standard Time, all around the world, wherever you're at in your time zone. Welcome to the couch. As always, I have an incredible guest today. There he is. Transformational leader, community builder, Jonathan England. Thank you so much for being here live on the couch with me, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
Nice to have you here. Well, let me share a little bit about you for everybody out there. You are the creator of the Awakened Life live event, and that's a powerful and impactful transformational event. It has attracted tens of thousands of participants from all around the world. He's also the co-founder of Earth Waking Echo Village. That's a residential village, and it's a mission to heal humanity from the inside out. And we'll primarily be focusing on his book today, and it's called If I Die Before I Wake. Don't go, oh, no, ha, what? I don't want it to, no. He's talking about waking up now in your life, guys. It's the 5-step roadmap to enlightenment, prosperity, and your life's purpose. Jonathan England, we'll talk more about your accolades, but that would take up about the next half hour. So let's just get into it. Shall we just do that? So thank you, by the way. Thank you so much for this book. I mean, I love to share really good books with folks all over, and I get wonderful feedback, and I know that this is going to inspire a lot of people. So thank you so much for being here and sharing this in our lives. So what kind of, let's just jump in with what inspired you to write this book. I mean, you've had a long journey, as I've read about. So
well, and so that's what it was the journey. I always say there's only one way to learn is through failure, but the caveat is it doesn't have to be your failure. You can learn through someone else's. So I found the keys to the kingdom, but I found them in hell. So I'm like, and there's another thing I say, if you don't want your pain to be in vain, turn your mess into a message.
I love it.
So I got a lot of messes and I've got a lot of messages. So
yeah,
the thing that inspires people to, you know, I see you behind me about to go down that trail. Well, you can take a left right there. And
Yeah. Well, you can help everybody out about, you know, their levels of consciousness. We're going to talk about that as well and how folks can sort of get there and see where they're at in their lives and some of the help that you can give them to move on to the next steps. So I don't mean to make this out to be like a reality show or anything, but and of course, you know, and what you say and what I believe is we have to be very conscious of how we speak and how we think, because what we're putting out there. But can you just touch a little bit on your journey and when you kind of journeyed to hell a little bit, you see?
Yeah, I'd say, so I'll kind of hit some points.
Okay, cool.
It really started my journey into hell. It really started when I was 12 years old. I had an older brother. He was 16 years old, and he died of muscular dystrophy.
Oh.
I was holding his hand when he passed away, and that was my journey into hell. I made it.
Wow.
One, you know, life is meaningless. You know, I'd failed love. And I didn't know, I didn't consciously make those decisions, but it was a subconscious thing, and it became my reality. And so from there, my next two decades was a journey into becoming a broke, ignorant, blackout, drunk, atheist, beach bum.
Oh.
And that journey took me into one night I was driving drunk, and I didn't know I was driving. I was blackout drunk. And all of a sudden I came to because I just rear-ended a car at a stoplight.
Oops.
And so then I I'm like, oh, crap, I'm driving. And I put my truck in reverse and tried to run, but there's a cop sitting at the stoplight.
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally. So, but now I'm glad that that cop was there because that was grace. Thank God for grace that showed up and took my ass to jail.
Yeah.
And in sitting in jail, that's when I made a new decision that from this moment forward, all of my actions are going to help people, not hurt people. Now, nobody got hurt in the accident, but they very easily could have. And so I made a conscious decision to make conscious decisions in that moment sitting in jail.
Wow. I mean, yeah, a lot of folks have that. A lot of folks don't get that, but you were lucky enough to receive it and have your own self awakening. So is that when you really first began interested in spirituality, do you think, just spending those alone time moments in jail? Or
no, that wasn't spirituality didn't come in yet. Now, I was actually always interested in spirituality, except for I was opposed to it. I wanted God to be real. I wanted there to be something, but what I was doing is testing the world, because I was an evangelist atheist. It was like my job to convince people God wasn't real and none of that stuff. Sure. But what underneath that, what I really wanted was somebody to prove me wrong, because I was suffering. I was depressed. I was lost. And I wanted somebody to prove me wrong. Subconscious, I would have never said that. I would have never even known that.
Right, right.
But that's what was going on underneath.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. So it was always sort of there. And then, so was there a particularly powerful experience that you had that just blew your mind? You went, what?
There was multiple of them, but there's like two specific. So after I made that decision, I'm sitting in jail. I made the decision, and then from there, these five levels of consciousness. I'm actually describing my journey through them as we're talking right now. Level one is called disoriented, where you're like a victim of circumstances. You're like a pinball getting bounced around. You're like, I'm doing the best that I can, but I got dealt a crappy hand of cards here. So, what can I do? And so that's where I was when I was a blackout drunk, beach bum. It was a victim mentality. I wouldn't, if you had called me a victim back then, I was like, I'd have been angry at you.
Yeah, right, right.
But I was living as an identity of a victim, trying to figure out how to be happy. But where that ended was when I rear-ended that car and I went to jail and I made a new decision, and the new decision was to take conscious action.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to help people. Well, how am I going to do that? And I'm like, well, I guess I need to become successful or something, well, how would I do that? And I wound up finding this, this guy, it was an infomercial, and he was selling real estate investing, no money, no credit, real estate investing. I'm like, well, I qualify. I don't have any money. I don't have any credit. But he was like, all right, it's $10,000. I'm like, well, I don't have $10,000. Like, it's never a lack of resources, only ever a lack of resourcefulness. So I became resourceful. I got the resources to gain the resource of that program, which was just a recipe on how to do real estate investing. And so my goal was to be successful. I'm like, to me, success meant building a business, making a bunch of money, buying a house, building a family. That's what it meant to me, because that was the programming that I grew up in.
Sure.
And so within my first 18 months, I'd made $400,000. Within 2 years, I built a multi-million dollar empire. Because I'm an all-in guy. When I was blackout drunk every night, it's because I'm all in. So
right.
I was all in on that. So what I just described to you was going from level one to level two. Level one was disoriented. Level two is called goal-oriented. So I moved into goal-oriented. I'm going to set the goals, and I'm going to build a business and do these things. And so, and I'm gonna build a family, and I'm gonna make my family happy. I'm gonna give them the life that, that would make a family happy. And nice. So I gave up everything to do that, built this business. Nobody has to work anymore. We got a nice, beautiful house. We're going on vacation all the time. Like every month, we're taking at least one vacation a month, the whole family.
Nice.
For some reason, the more I gave my family everything that they wanted, the more miserable they became.
I'm like,
this doesn't make any sense to me.
So they're always looking for the next thing, yeah, right?
And it got to the point where my girlfriend at the time, she was taking 20 Oxycontin a day. Her boys, she had twin boys that are teenagers at that time. They're on drugs now, and they're punching each other in the face, punching holes in the wall, just crazy. And my mom was on hospice.
Yeah.
And so I had them all in the house together, but now my mom's on hospice, about to die.
Oh. Like,
given less than a month to live. Now, just to let you know, she didn't die.
Oh, man.
Because of the work that I've done and where I've gotten to, at this point, I've invested over $500,000 in my own personal development, just to really grow and expand myself to my awareness of how this multiverse works, how it operates, and how to take responsibility for it. So in that journey, I found some recipes, I found some tools, and so I was able to help mom to where now she's in better health than she's been in 20 years. So she had 100% chance of death, according to the doctors, but we made it out on the other side. Yeah. But what I'm leading to is the answer to your question was spiritual, like anything that really impacted me. And so, I was in level two until all this stuff was happening. Like, no matter how hard I tried, it's like, no matter what I did, it was never enough.
Right.
And so I got to the point where my whole family is just like miserable. Like my mom's dying, literally dying.
Yeah.
And so I laid down my head and said, I failed. I'm a failure. I gave everything. I gave my whole heart. I gave my soul. And I, no matter what I do, it's never enough. I failed. I'm a failure. Yeah. And in that moment, see, I'd never said that before. I was it ain't over till I win kind of guy.
Right.
And so suddenly in that moment, I said, I failed. I'm a failure. It's like this weight lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And what happened in that moment is like this phoenix emerged. And what happened is everything that I thought that I was supposed to be, everything that I thought that I was, it died in that moment because I'd already given up everything to be it, to be the good son, to be the good husband, to be the good dad, to be the good, you know, the good person. I gave up everything to be as good as I could possibly be, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so what happened is it's like this blueprint. It was my egoic identity that it just died.
Wow.
And suddenly I was set free. And so I was like, so if I'm not that, because I can't be that, because I gave up everything to be it. If I'm not that, then what am I? Who am I?
Right.
That's when I entered into level three, which is called journey oriented. So level one, you live in the past, which creates depression. Level two, you live in the future, which creates anxiety. But level three, you live in the present moment, which reveals the peace that's always been present, but you aren't present to it.
Yes.
That was my first spiritual experience because I merged with everything for all of eternity. Like it was, you know, it was enlightenment. There was multiple different enlightenment experiences. That was my first one where I became everything for all of eternity. And then, I became formless love. Well, I became aware that I was always formless love. But I left the form and merged.
Yes.
I was everything for all eternity. So,
Amazing. Yeah. That is so awesome. So, I mean, you kind of really, that was a very great journey of you learning higher levels kind of sort of quickly. I mean, I work with some people in their lives who are in their 60s and 70s, and they're just kind of discovering, wow, why did I work so hard? And, you know, I lost my sense of self because I was giving all the time. And I thought my job, and I don't mean to be, you know, sexist, but masculine energy, of course, feminine energy too, but is to give, provide, you know, it's that whole thing. So you're a good soul originally anyway, because, you know, you were giving and you were providing, and that's who your identity was. And there's no shame or judgment at all in that, you know, but it's just moving, segueing from that into this level of, whoa, I'm always out there waiting for stuff to bring me in. I got to go in and then ground and find out who I am. You know, what is up with universal consciousness and how I am so connected to that. Is that fair?
Well, kind of, except for I didn't actually go in. It's just that my separate self, because the separate self is an illusion, but I was trapped inside of an illusion of a separate self, an egoic identity, but it popped. And so it's like, it's because it's like your ego in level one, it's like your ego is a deflated balloon.
Right.
But level two, you inflate the balloon and you blow that thing up. Like, cause you're starting to look what I can do.
Yeah.
Look, I'm very successful. I could do these things. So it's your ego growing. But level three, you pop the thing. You can't pop it. One, you're just keeping it, but nothing, it doesn't go away. You have to grow and expand it first. And so how it happened for me again is because I'm an all in guy. I go all in. I don't hold anything back. So I'm 100% all in with whatever I do. I give everything to it. So it didn't take me 60 years to find out if what I was doing was going to work or not, because I didn't hold back. And so most people, they might keep like a 1% or a 0.1% that are still like, there's still a, like a, a padding, like a 0.1% padding. So you can spend the next 5,000 years with a 0.1% padding and still not find out if this is going to work or not, right, because you haven't gave it all yet. So I gave it all right in front, and then I popped. So I didn't go within. It's like I exploded to where there was no more separation between within and without.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I popped. So how did you get your journey? I popped. Okay, dude. Okay, now let's look at number four, level four. What would level four be?
Yeah, so I just described it. Level three is formless love, entering into the awareness of formless love, oneness. And so level four, is you start to enter back into form. Now you're love in form.
Uh-huh.
So you enter back into the perception of separation, but you're carrying the awareness of the oneness within you.
Right.
So in level four, it's called value oriented, because now you're overflowing with value. But like in level two, if somebody would have came to me and described these five levels and told me about level four, put a gun to my head when I was in level two, I would have swore to you I was in level four. I would have said, no, I'm only doing this for my family. I'm not trying. It's not about me. It's only about my family. I swear to you, it's just to provide value. But what I didn't know back then is that I wasn't really doing it for my family. I was doing it because I didn't think that I deserved to have a family unless I did this. I didn't think that I was worth. I thought I was love for what I do, not for who I am.
Right. And so I was
doing my way into love.
Yeah.
And all my actions were to make myself valuable enough to finally allow myself to have love. But it was never going to happen. And I didn't know that. So level three, you find everything you're looking for, but you find it by realizing it's been there the whole time. It was within you the entire time.
Yes.
And so in level three, you return to wholeness, to your awareness of your wholeness. Like you've always been there. You just forgot.
Yeah.
In level three, you've returned to it. You've got everything you're looking for. Level four, now you've moved. You've got the formless love. You bring it into form and it starts to overflow out of you. And now you're in service to the rest of you in the perceived separation.
Yeah, exactly. And then level five.
But then five. So it's like, well, damn, well, that's got to be it right there. Level four. How can it get better than that? Well, the issue with that is you can't see the picture when you're inside of it. And so you're carrying the awareness of the oneness when you're in level four. You're back into the perception of like, I'm John again.
Yeah.
Like I'm back into the identity of John, but with the fullness of the awareness of the oneness. And so, but how this, the issue comes is let's imagine you see somebody over on a side of on a cliff and you're like, oh, this person's about to fall off the cliff. I need to go over there and help the person. Now you're not doing this to get an award or for any reason. It's just like this person's falling and I'm just going to help them. And so it feels like a great thing, except for you can't see the picture when you're inside of it. So you have a limited perspective. And you go over there and you pull the person back like, all right, I helped you out there, you know.
Yes.
And then the person's like, no, what did you just do? Like, no, I helped you. No, you didn't. And then they point and they say, there's a person falling right there and I was trying to save them.
Yes.
And so you pull the person back. You think the person's falling. You pull them back, but they weren't falling. They were saving somebody else. So you couldn't see it because you had a limited perspective. So level four, it's all great, except for it's a limited perspective. So level five is the not my will, but thine be done. It's the sovereign surrender. So you've regained your sovereignty, but this is a surrender to the higher perspective. And it's like you tap into a GPS system.
Yes.
And suddenly you're guided. And it's like, you know, not my will, but thine be done. But what would you have me do next? And so you're living life fully as the separate self. But you're being with the complete awareness of the oneness, but you're being guided you're being guided from outside the picture.
Right. That's, thank you so much for these explanations. This is great. I love this. This is really amazing. And I know you're helping folks out a lot. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Jonathan England. He's the author of an amazing book. Got to read it, folks. You're on the same page as I am if you watch this show all the time. And I always turn you on to amazing books. This one's way up there at the top. It's called If I Die Before I Wake, the 5-step roadmap to enlightenment, prosperity, and your life's purpose. Jonathan England is my guest, special guy today. Boy, he's got so many things rocking because he is a to-do guy. He gets things together. You know what I'm saying? He puts things together in practice from what he's learned, and he teaches it to you. Not only talks about his journey in this book, but also he is the creator of the Awakened Life Live Event and also the co-founder of Earthwaking Echo Village. It's a residential village with a mission to heal humanity from the inside out. I want to talk about those as well. And also his Find Your Purpose book. We all have a purpose, right, Jonathan? We all do. You can get it free, and we'll give you that information too. It's a findyourpurposebook.com, but we'll put it up on the website afterwards as well, so you can. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to talk about. So thank you for the enlightenment steps. I think that's just amazing. Quick question on step 5, and I, you know, this is just helping me and whatever. So you've surrendered. You're allowing, you're open to information, and you're there. You're just like, okay, I've been through all these steps, and I'm surrendering my everything, my ego, and I'm listening. I'm guided by the higher perspective. Do you have a process to get into that state, per se, in an alpha or, I don't know, theta brain or meditative state, or does it just sort of come into your being beta consciousness?
So if I share with you the recipe on how I did it, and then how it is it was the environment. It was that I tapped into somebody who was tapped in, like, and it was, because how I got to level 5, would you like to hear that story?
Oh yes. I love this.
This one's very interesting. So, I had a friend who had a taxi cab business, and he painted his taxis inside of a storage shed, but also in that storage shed, he had a little recording studio. And so, I used to play in a punk rock band called Boston the Sauce. This guy used to play in a reggae band called Modern Motion, and we used to play together, but we had separated on our, like, we were both beach bums, like, playing in our bands, but then we went on our different paths, and I built a real estate business. This guy had built a taxi cab business.
Nice. But then
we both realized there was nothing there, and we both popped in a way, and then moved into the spiritual dimension.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we met each other again. We're like, hey. And he's like, hey, you want to come over? Do you ever play music anymore? I'm like, no. He's like, well, come over to my shed and we'll play some music. So I'm like, that sounds cool. And so I'm in there, I'm playing drums, he's playing the guitar, and we're there for about 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, you know, we stop playing, and there's a guy standing in the shed clapping. And it's this big redneck guy, got big curly hair, and just like, he's just clapping. He's like, man, I've been here for 20 minutes. Y'all didn't even see me. Like, where are you? Why are you in a storage shed? And so my friend's like, I got to go. And I'm like, well, I got to go too. But he leaves. But I'm with this guy for just a few minutes. And I gave him my business card that had my phone number on it. And he calls me the next day. Well, actually, next day I'm in a meditation.
Yeah.
And it was a meditation group. And it was January 22nd, 2015.
Wow.
And I know that because that was my birthday.
Yay! So
I was in a meditation on my birthday. I come out of meditation. All of a sudden, I get a phone call, and I hear a voice says, answer the call. I'm like, and now usually I don't answer the call if I don't know who it is. But this time I get the call. And I answer. And it's the guy that I just met in the storage shed the night before. And he starts going, oh, something's come over me. Oh, I got to talk with you right now. Oh, I got to meet with you right now because God's got a message for you. And I'm like, well, God's got a message for me. He can come to me. He doesn't need, tell him, you know, he knows where I'm at. But, you know, again, remember, I'm an all-in guy. So I'm like, all right, let's, where are you at? And he says, I'm at Walmart parking lot. I'm like, all right, that's 5 minutes away. I'll meet you there. And so I'm driving over there. I call my dad. I'm in Florida. My dad lives in Kentucky. So I call my dad and I'm like, hey, Dad, if you never hear from me again, check the Walmart parking lot cameras, because that's the last place I was. And, you know, there's at least a 50% chance that this dude's going to be wearing my skin later on. You know, it was an equal chance. Like this, he seemed like a crazy dude. And so I was, I was very well aware that this could be my last moment. And, but I'm going, wow. I got to find out. And so I pull up and he's sitting and he's got a little yellow truck and he's sitting underneath this light coming down in Walmart parking lot. I'm like, and he's got the door open and I pull up and he says, get in. And I'm like,
hell no.
Well, that's
no,
what
you it, didn't.
That's what a normal person would say, but but I'm an all-in guy, so I'm like, all right. So I got in. And then he says, shut the door. So what did I do? I shut the door. And then he starts rocking back and forth. He starts up the engine.
Uh-oh.
He starts rocking back and forth like this. I'm like, what is he doing? And then he starts. Then he starts speaking in tongues. And I'd never been around anybody speaking in tongues before. I didn't know what this was.
Yeah.
And he's like, all this weird stuff. And then he puts the car in gear and he's rocking back and forth, speaking in this weird language. And then he says, God really loves you. God really loves you. And I'm like, well, I hope so. Cause like, I don't know what's about to happen right now. And he starts driving. I'm like, where are we going?
Uh-oh.
But so I sit there. And now at this point, because again, I used to be an evangelist atheist and I had a highly trained bullshit spotter. I could tell if somebody was lying and manipulating and trying to use God, you know, to get what they wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, I'm perfectly present. I look straight forward and I'm just waiting for him to say one word that I can call. I'm like, no, bullshit. I mean, wait, one word.
Yep.
And I'm just waiting. And I start saying, okay, oh, that's true. All right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. Well, this, and then I start, and I'm like, "How's he know that? How's he know?" He starts talking about my childhood. He starts talking about my parents. He starts talking about my grandparents. And like, there's no way he could ever possibly know this,
right? Right.
And then he starts talking about my future, and he's sharing this prophecy, and he says, "In 3 days, God's going to come ask for your life, and if you give it to him, he's going to give you If you give it to him, he's going to give you favor, but you can never take credit for anything ever again."
Okay.
And now, by the way, this dude, he lives in a storage shed.
Yeah.
He lives in a storage shed next to the storage shed. He just stays in there all day just talking to God.
Wow.
And so anyway, I get this prophecy. So then I call one of my friends. He's like an Opie Taylor kind of guy. Just And he does a Bible study every Wednesday. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to call my friend up and he's going to tell me what to think about this dude. And so I call him and like, hey man, what do you know about people speaking in tongues? He's like, well, that's in the Bible. Yeah, that's fine. I'm like, okay, well, what about prophecies? And he's like, yeah, that's in the Bible. But then he says, but it says in the Bible, a false prophet should be put to death.
Uh-oh.
And you're telling me this dude told you the date? He said in 3 days it's going to happen. I'm like, yeah, 3 days. He said, well, this is easy. All you got to do is in 3 days now, you're either going to know this is the real deal or you need to get as far away as you can get from this guy.
Yeah.
Well, 3 days later, God came and asked for my life and it showed up. It was just, I was sitting in my room and the entire room just turned to light. It was like a golden sparkle glitter, like the entire world, like room. And well, there wasn't a room anymore. It was everything. It was just like, and I was too. And then I heard, it's like an audible voice, but that you can't hear it with ears. It's like a different, it's a different type of thing.
Oh yeah. I know that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I was asking for my life. And then I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it? So I'm in, you know, this kind of argument, but there's no argument because I say, what are you going to do with it? And there's no answer. So then I'm sitting there like, well, how am I supposed to say yes to something that I don't know what I'm saying yes to? Right. You're going to have to tell me what I'm saying yes to. And then I can decide if I'm going to say yes or not.
Right.
But then I started to realize, oh, this is something that I have to say yes before I know what it is.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, well, what's worst case scenario? And I started going through all my worst case scenarios and everything. But then at the end of all that, I'm like, well, if this is God, if this is really God, you know, I'm going to die. This body is going to die anyway. So that means if this is God, God's going to have my life, whatever's left of it anyway. So why wait? Why wouldn't I just do it now? And I couldn't come up with a single logical reason. So I said, all right, well, let's do this then. And in that moment, everything changed. I didn't know what love was until that moment. I didn't know what peace was. I didn't know what joy was until that moment.
Wow.
And what happened in that moment is, you know, it says seek first the kingdom, and the kingdom is within you. And so I always say life's an 18-inch journey from the head to the heart, from the mind through the emotions to the heart. And what happened is I made that 18-inch journey in an instant. I dropped, and suddenly I was sitting in the kingdom, and now I was hearing, I was seeing from the kingdom. And from that moment forward, every step that I took was from the kingdom, not for it. I wasn't trying to get there. I was there. I am there. And so the actions are coming out of me from there. And from that moment forward, I've always been able to hear God. And I just, you know, and it's not like a state that I go to. It's a state that's in me. That's all that I'm aware of at every moment. And I can hear. I mean, sometimes I, you know, I'll get lost. Like sometimes, I'll get stuck in the Maya, right? And I'm like, but I can recognize it. I'm like, oh, look, I got sucked into the movie, right? I got sucked into the dream. And then I just return home, and then the guidance is always there. But again, so how I got there. So if the question is, how do you do it? Like how I did it is I just said yes. I just kept saying yes, all in. I gave everything, my whole being, and I ask and you shall receive. And I'm like, I'm asking God, if there's a God out there, you're going to have to show me you in a way that's like undeniable. You know me, so show me. And I received, but it was only because God knew I would say yes before I knew what I was saying yes to. And what happened in that moment, why I was an evangelist atheist was because my mind was my God.
Yes.
And so what I was actually asked to give up, that what I had to put on the altar that day, was my mind, because I used to play chess with life. I'm like, if I do this, that'll happen. If I do that, that'll happen. And so now I have to just say yes when I don't know the play. And that's how I dropped out of my head and into my heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing. You know, I talk to people who just, you know, they do the heart brain coherence meditations for years, you know, heart brain coherence. You know what? And it's working, but you really popped on that fifth one, you know, on that fifth level of consciousness, you know? So, I mean, that's amazing. It reminds me of the Way of the Peaceful Warrior books, you know, like, right?
Yeah.
The guru who came in, you know, the movie, that was awesome. But, you know, the redneck guy who's just sort of came, I don't know, maybe he was in an angelic form that just became, you know, 3D or something for you.
Most people would have disregarded him.
Yeah, sure.
But because like I really do care about people. I really care about, you know, what they have to say. I'm really listening, and I really want to know. I really like, so
right.
Because of that depth of desire that I had to know, I was able to, because the biggest myth is I'll believe it when I see it, but the truth is I'll see it when I believe it.
Yes.
And so I was able to, you know, because I believed, it started to show itself to me. But the thing is, people, like, they're blocking their blessings because the answer to their prayers is showing up in a package other than the one that they think it should show up in.
Right.
It's never going to, because God's plans always never make sense. It has to not make sense, because right. I always say faith untested can't be trusted. If you know how to do it, it doesn't take faith.
Right. So right, exactly.
You've got to say yes. It's got to be, it's going to show up like the opposite of what you think it's going to be. It's like we do the wrong thing so long, the right thing feels wrong. So you've got to get outside of what you think that you know and let that crack open. And then you can start to receive the unconditional love that God is.
Wow. That's so beautiful. So making that transition is, I guess, our own personal journey, but you're helping them along by, in your book, If I Should Die Before I Wake, you're helping people really understand the journey you went through and how they too can possibly notice the signs and the levels of consciousness that they're in, and maybe being aware of the next steps to sort of get out of that.
Because I share these five levels with Academy Award-winning artists, and when I'm sharing, and just like people that are at the top of the, like the...
Yes, who've done really well. Yeah.
But they're in level two, and they didn't realize it, because they're like, I'm winning the game, except for I'm still miserable.
See, yes.
If Robin Williams, Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, would if I could have met them before they died, they wouldn't have died. Like, I would have shared, hey, you're in level two. Because, see, they became hopeless because they won the game. They went as far as you could possibly go in level two, and there's nothing there. And right. So they're like, I guess it's all pointless. It's all worthless. But they didn't realize there were still three more levels to go, which they would have been masterful.
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, what's so interesting is I always had a, you know, question. By the time we're kind of stepping into level five, we're trying to open ourselves up to it. You know, you're in four, you're in that place. And sometimes our own ego dips in and out. Whoop, whoop, whoop. So, and you talked about your own intuition. I think some of the hardest things that people have to determine is how to define their own, how to separate their own ego fears from real intuition and connecting with the source or whatever you want to call God, higher source, universal consciousness. How do you just sort of push that ego out of the way and just allow? I mean, you seem to do it spontaneously. You know, I try to have people go, okay, you need to meditate or you need to ask yourself deep within and wait for the answer.
Yeah, because it's pretty much like a you know, like a sixth sense for me now. It's not like something that a process that I go through to do it. It's just there. It's like it's there it. Now. But
yeah, yeah.
One of the things that people can start to do when they're like a litmus test that they can kind of start to use to watch is why am I doing this? Why do I want what I'm about to do? Because God doesn't want to give you what you want. God wants to give you what you think what you want is going to give you. Because you don't want the $1 billion in your bank account. You want what you think the $1 billion is going to give you.
Right.
You don't want the wife or the children. You want what you think the wife and the children are going to give you. So God's going to give you that. And so if you're trying to get something because you think there's something missing, that's your ego.
Yes.
Because it's am I doing this from or for? Am I doing this from love or for love? If you're doing it for love, that means there's like a lacking. Am I doing this from worthiness or for worthiness?
Right.
If I do this, do I think this is going to give me something that I'm missing? And if you're doing it because you think it's going to give you something that you're missing, that means you're being driven by fear. You're driven by scarcity. You're driven by lack, which means it's going to just reproduce more of what you don't want.
Right. So, right. Beautifully said. Wow. So on that point, to your point of reproducing more of what you don't want, here's a totally random question. So I just do this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah, I would say for sure. I did a past life regression before. And
yes.
So
yes.
I guess, like, you know, even in the Bible, it talks about Elijah is, there's like, you know, people talk about whether it really says it or not.
But, yeah.
He's, you know, a reincarnation, you know, right. But yeah, we're coming up to the end of the illusion of time here in this, where we are, like,
how we are. Huh?
If you're hearing me talking right now, then the reality that you're in is a reality in which we're at the end of the illusion of time. It's all coming to a head, but in that journey, because time's an illusion. So
of course,
and again, I entered into everything I became everyone for all of eternity. I entered into all of that, all those spaces. So I lived all of those lives. So it just really depends on what you mean by reincarnation.
Right. Yeah.
There's different levels of awareness as you're going along the journey. Because these five levels are just there are five states of conscious orientation, five ways to perceive reality from. And now the truth is we're all in level five all the time, but what you believe to be true is true for you, even if it's a lie. So most people are living in lies and not realizing it. And so there's all these separate multiverses that have separate perspectives, and there's infinite perspectives and experiences inside of the infinite amount of universes, but there's only one truth. Like, there's the truth. So when you step into the truth, there is no such thing as time. which mean there in the truth, there's no such thing as karma. There's no such thing as reincarnation because it's all one right here, right now.
Yes. Yes. And that's so true. And a lot of my friends over at Gaia, you know, who host shows and stuff like that, they talk about, there is no time and how we can just be that all one. And the only reason why I brought up reincarnation too, is because you were talking about, you know, learning along your journey. And I was just wondering, hey, do we have to come back sort of to learn a little bit more? Do we need to keep coming back to sort of get to that point of, you know, the fifth level of consciousness where we are the amazing human being / soul / God entities, you know, yeah. We chose to come down. We've been put down here in this 3D, you know, place in order to experience the tactile but just understand what is most important.
Yeah. So like in the illusion of time, there's just cycles that are just going to be repeating over. But when you step out of it, like when you step through like out of time into eternity,
yeah,
and you're perceiving reality from eternity, it's like, so I do these breakthrough processes where someone will have, because I always say it appears without, though it is within. If it's showing up out there, we face it within or we face it without, by chance or by choice. Either way, we're going to face it. So face what? Your fears, your lies, your judgments. Yeah. And so they're going to show up in whether maybe it's dis-ease, your body not at ease. That's something that you haven't dealt with on the inside. Right. Maybe it's going to show up as a car wreck. Maybe it's going to show up, whatever it's going to show up. Maybe it's going to show up as your girlfriend or boyfriend cheating on you. But whatever that is, that's just a reflection of what's going on the inside. So when it shows up, the first step is like, okay, because we're taking 100% responsibility for our reality. That's how you wake up. The degree in which you're awake is the degree in which you've taken responsibility for all of your reality. Right. If you're, you know, and the degree in which you're asleep is the degree in which you're not, you're blaming circumstances, like playing a victim to a circumstance. Yes. So once the circumstance shows up, you're like, okay, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how does it make me feel about myself?
Yeah.
When you show up with a circumstance that you don't like,
right,
the next step is like, how does it make me feel about myself? Well, makes me feel like no matter what I do, it's never enough, or whatever the belief is.
Right.
Then once you've got that, like, okay, so this is just a reflection of that belief that I've got inside of myself about myself,
yes,
which is a false perspective because I'm still trying to become enough, right?
Right.
I'm under the illusion that I'm not. And yes. So then what I'll do, so I'll walk somebody through a breakthrough. We'll do like a regression. We'll go back. I'll say, okay, when was the first time you remember feeling like that? And then they'll be like, okay, well, I was 5 years old and you know, I asked my dad if he wanted to play baseball and he started yelling at me.
Yeah.
And so I'll take him into that moment. So there's the little 5 year old, like,
right,
yelling at me and all, I just want to play baseball. He's yelling at me.
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is then actually invite the truth in, because the truth will set you free. But see, the truth was already there. So the lie was, the little boy says, well, I guess, I'm not worthy of love,
right, because
my dad doesn't even want to spend time,
right,
with me.
Right.
But what actually happened, they said, that's a lie. You know, I'm not worthy of love is a lie. There's not there's never been a person who's ever existed that wasn't worthy of love.
Right.
So the little boy, 5 years old, took on a belief and trapped himself inside of it. And now it's like a cage. There's a kid trapped in a cage, but it's like you just fragmented. And so now the kid's like, I'm going to do everything that I can to not ever have to feel like that again.
Yes.
And so now it's a traumatic reaction from a moment,
right,
that you assigned a meaning to that didn't even exist. Like you made the meaning up, but he got it from his dad, because his dad, the reason dad was yelling was because dad was like, I'm working my ass off and I'm working 70 hours a week to provide for my family. I just want to be a good dad, but every time I come home, I get my wife nagging at me, and then I'm so tired. And then you come, and I want to play ball with you. I want to play baseball with you, but I just don't have anything left in me.
Right.
I'm not enough. And so the dad was believing that I'm not enough, and then the boy took on the belief, and so now he's trapped into this false identity.
Oh, man.
I'm not enough. And then And so when I'm doing this regression, I'm like, okay, so you decided that's not enough. And then I said, can you see that showing up in your life? How a life built on that decision? And they're like, oh my God, I see it everywhere. It's like every one of my relationships, everything, it's everywhere. Yes, so you've been living in a false reality based on a lie. And so then we tell the truth. So then, you know, the truth comes out. I'm like, well, I am enough. Wow, it wasn't personal.
Yes.
It was my dad was just going through something. And I am worth love. And so then you step into the truth, and then you realize, hey, it was true the entire time. See, that whole journey I took was just a dream. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
You know, she gets to the end and she wakes up at the end, realizing that it was just a dream. She was home the whole time. And so that's what this journey is like when you step out of time into eternity. So in time, there's all reincarnation. There's all kinds, there's infinite perspectives and experiences that you can go in.
Right.
And in eternity, you'll see that none of them actually even happened. They were just, it was like going to another movie, another dream. Uh-huh. But it wasn't real. You're waking up from a dream.
Oh, well, that's so beautiful. And we're here to really experience that we can do kind of anything that we want, or we can create through being mindful of how we think and how we speak, and, you know, coming from, I guess, love. And that's brilliant how y'all help people and work through those unresolved things. You know, that's my thing too. And understand, you know, to your point on that, where dad is coming from and his upbringing, and then the generational and the DNA and all that stuff. But we get to, at this point, absolutely learn how to make the change. Like you said, it's our turn in this generation and our being and our decision to come on down here and be, to learn how to be on a higher journey. As you say in your book, if I die before I wake, the 5-step roadmap to enlightenment, prosperity, and your life's purpose, Jonathan England. What a beauty, man. What a great read. We're getting close to running out of time here, but I wanted to talk, of course, I knew it was going to happen.
That was quick, didn't it? Wow.
I know.
You're
the best. You're the best. What a great guest you are. Guys, you want to find out about the Earthwaking Echo Village. Okay. It's a residential village with a mission to heal humanity from the inside out. It's got all the principles, learning, healthy living, how to raise children, all that good stuff. It's beautiful. You want to check that out. Also, Jonathan is offering his free book about finding your purpose. I mean, that's the biggie. How do I find my purpose? This is it. Go online. It's free. Find Our Purpose Book.
Find your purpose book.com.
That's it. Find Your Purpose Book.com. And you're right. So check that out. So many other things, the Awakened Life live events that you hold, Jonathan, where to do that. What is the best way people can find out more about you and get in touch with you and etc.?
Actually, if you go to earthwakingvillage.com and our own social media platform, you can go in there and then you can find me and message me right in there. You can actually directly to me at earthwakingvillage.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Being here now. And blessings to you and all you do for others. I really appreciate it.
You as well.
Thank you.
Go team.
Oh, go team. Yeah. Awakening and bless you. All right. Take good care, everybody. And as I always say, take care of yourself first, as Jonathan was saying, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works here. Bye. See you next week.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.